from Mary Overton. All right, Brother Mike Patterson, come on down and preach. Hallelujah. It's been a good week. Had a couple good days here, Brad. During the day, we've had every good evening again, but a couple good days here as well, ramming all over the county.
Well, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, better than the other night, I tell you. About time you woke up, took you all week long. If you go with me to the book of Romans tonight in chapter 1, Romans in chapter 1 again. We have been in Romans chapter 1 on Tuesday and Wednesday night, and we'll be back here again this evening for a little bit and looking another thought on the characteristics of a Christian. We had already considered a couple things, the characteristic of serving last night, and I talked about the servant, characteristic of prayer. And can anybody remember talking about Tuesday evening? Anybody at all? Quickly, Tuesday evening. No, that was Monday night. What did we talk about on the characteristic of one on Tuesday? Remember the text we were looking at? Paul begins to say, thank my God. Thankfulness. Being thankful, you know, on Tuesday evening. And tonight I want to look at one with you. Stand with me as we read just for a moment, please, again, beginning in verse 8 tonight, where he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He says, boy, I thank God that people know about you, amen. That people know about you around the world. That's interesting. Sometimes it's a good thing to be known around your town as the church in town that preaches the gospel. It's a little crazy now then, amen. And our church and our community in Michigan has put a bad taste in some people's mouths sometimes, but it usually puts a good taste in their mouths too, amen? So depending on who gets mad at you when. But it's good that you're known throughout the whole world, he says, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Then he says in verse 10, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege we have tonight, Father, to gather around it again for a few moments. Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name. I pray, Father, again, if there has been anyone tonight who has come into our presence who does not know Christ as their Savior, that you would speak to that heart this evening, Father. Draw that one to thyself through your precious Holy Spirit, and that they might confess their sin tonight and call upon the Savior. God, thank you for working in our hearts this week, Lord. Continue your good work in us, Lord, that we would bring honor and glory to your name. We'll give you the praise and thanks now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I want to look down again for a moment at verse 10 where he makes this statement, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And I'd like to speak to you this evening for a few moments about the characteristic of submitting. The characteristic of submitting. Paul says that by the will of God. I can't make this statement to you. When you're going to do something as a believer in Jesus Christ, you ought to seek God's will and that for your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're going to change a job, you ought to seek the will of God. You might want some counsel from somebody, but you ought to seek the will of God. Ask God, amen, what He would have you to do, and He will make it evident what He wants you to do. It doesn't mean you quit one job and then wait 20 years to get another job. It means that you seek God's will and what you ought to do as a child of God. It means that when you're going to buy another truck or another car or something or another house, that you ought to seek the will of God. You might come to me and say, Brother Mike, I'm thinking about buying a house, and more power to you. I can't tell you where you ought to go and what you ought to do and how much you ought to pay for it. Amen. But God can tell you. Right. You get into His Word and seek His face and seek His will for your life. You remember again that characteristic, that term means, that word means, being a feature that helps to distinguish you as a person or as a being, a feature that helps to identify or to tell apart or describe recognizably a distinguishing mark or trait. you might have the same birthmark that your mother has or that your father has, amen. I don't want to see your birthmarks, amen. I'm just saying you might have the same birthmark that one of them have. You might have the same hairline that your father has, amen. And I don't know, my dad died when he was 26 and I was 2, so he still had his hair, amen, when he passed away. I don't know if he would have kept it the rest of his life. My uncle's dead, but I didn't, amen. And I inherited my mother's hair. My mother does not have much hair on her head anymore. But when she gussies it up, it looks pretty, amen. She teases it. I can't tease mine. There's nothing there to tease, amen. And so it's a feature in your life. Now, a feature of submission ought to be something that other people ought to recognize in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And usually when you start talking about submission, Pastor, everybody says, yeah, go over to Ephesians, you know, where it says, and that's, I'm not telling you to turn here, but they'll say, go over to Ephesians where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, amen. But then they leave off the next part that says, husbands, what? Love your wives, amen. And so we're not talking about that this evening. We're talking about being submitted to the Lord and what that means. In Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 16, verse 9, I've got these written down, so I'm going to go through these real quick before I get down to the message. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar. Made this statement, and the Spirit of the Lord said to her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 45 and verse 346, strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. Of course, this is a song of David after he had escaped from the hand of Saul when Saul was trying to kill him. However, the word submit here in 2 Samuel is a little bit different. This leads to the thought of a feigned or a fake or a not real submission as you look at there in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 22. Sometimes we think of the word, when you think of the word submit, you might think of the word obedience. Obedience is what? The very best way to show or to prove that what? You believe. Amen. And then you sing the kids' song, O-B-E-D. You know, that's the only way I learned how to spell obedience, amen. And I was about 30 when I learned that, hallelujah. I'm just telling you. So, you know, I wasn't obedient as a child. Anybody in here want to admit that to me? You weren't that obedient. Well, maybe you were more obedient. I was not obedient as a child. If you told me I couldn't do it, I did it. And if you told me I could do it, then I wouldn't do it, you know. I was disobedient, man. And many of you in this room, sometimes possibly, were the same way in your own lives, amen. Maybe you weren't, but I don't think every person is 100% obedient their whole life, amen. He makes a statement, I wrote down, it means, obedient means to carry out or fulfill a command or order or an instruction. To carry out or to comply with a command, for example, to behave obediently. To behave obediently. However, you know, you can obey, you really can't obey without submitting. You can obey, but not necessarily submit. Right. We were at the children's home years ago. One of the boys, I can't remember, that was back in 1979. You could still get away with a few things that you can't get away with today with teenagers, amen. And so we were at the children's home, and I remember one of the boys, I can't remember what he did, and I said, all right, you go up your room and you stay in your room until I tell you to come down. He walked up to his room, and he went to go in the door, and he slammed the door. Well, that's a no-no, in our home at the children's home. That was a no-no. You didn't do this. So I walked upstairs, and I opened up his door. I said, now you can come over here, and 100 times you open that door up and you close it. Nice. Open it up and close it. So this is what I hear. And every time it got louder and slammed harder. By the time he got to the ninth one, I was standing at the door and he didn't see me. And he went to shut that door. He started opening up, went to shut it, and I slammed my hands into it, smacked him right in the forehead. You notice, in the next 91 times, he did it quietly, amen? I'm just simply saying, you can obey, but not submit. Now listen, sometimes we think of the word surrender when we mention the word submitting. And surrender does not necessarily mean that you submit. Many of men during the Vietnam War, many men during the Second World War and the First World War, many men in other countries today fighting for our nation have sometimes had to surrender. But you read their stories, amen. You read their stories about where they were held captive and what, and they did not necessarily submit. They did not always do everything they were supposed to do. They did what they only had to do in order to live, in order to come back to our nation. Amen. And boy, I thank God for those who have given their lives for us over on the foreign field. Sometimes surrender means to relinquish possession or control of or to another because of demand or compulsion. To give up in favor of another. To give up or to give back something that has been granted. To give up or to abandon. To give over or resign oneself to something as to even an emotion. But you can surrender but not submit. Sometimes we might even think of the word subjection when we think of the word submission. Being in a position or a circumstance that would place one under the power or under the authority of others. But you know, you can be in subjection to someone or something, but not necessarily be in submission to them or to that thing. Submission means the act of submitting to the power of another. You are giving up 100% of your will. I think we need to submit to God, amen?
Amen.
Give up 100% of our will to God. The state of having submitted, the state of being submissive or compliant, it even means meekness. To be in a position where you are meek before man and before God as a child of God. And you might think that you're meek, and I'll guarantee you that I know I'm not, amen? But you might think that you are. Maybe you are, I don't know. But I know this preacher, that it don't take me much to make my hackles get up sometimes, amen? We were in Florida this year, and I was using the church van, and I don't know if I'd had surgery yet on my back or just getting ready to have surgery on my back, but I at a stoplight and I watched a poor guy, his car died in the middle of the intersection, and he's sitting there, pastor, and he's got to go through and he's got to get across traffic, and he's getting out and he's trying to push his car. People behind me are blowing their horn and the light turns red and they're still blowing their horn. You can't go anywhere, I can't go anywhere, you know. And about the fourth time somebody blew their horn behind me, I put the car in park, I started opening up my door, and where my wife says, if you're not going to help him, you better just stay right in here, because this is a church van, amen. I had about enough of it, Dave, amen. Just about enough of it. And I was ready to go back and put it, and he probably would have shot me, amen. Orlando, Florida, think that. And where we were at was not a good section of town, amen. I'm just simply saying that sometimes we're not very meek, but the idea of submission means to be meek. Means to be humble. Put yourself underneath the authority of a holy God. Submit to the Lord, number one. James with me. Number one is submit to the Lord tonight. And the book of James, if you will, please. The book of James. And as we go over to the book of James, I just want to look at a couple of things here. James chapter 4. And I want to read to you verse 6 through verse 8. And I never do have a lot of sub-points. And I don't have, my sub-points are scripture, amen. So, and I could put something with this phone, I guess. But it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but what? Giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a promise from God. He says, submit to God. Give in to God. Give in to God and fight the devil, amen. Don't give in to the devil in your life as a believer in Christ. He says, submit to me. Submit to me. And then he makes that classic statement. I love what he says there again. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist. Resist the devil. How many of you have ever resisted something? Anybody in here ever resist arrest? Well, I better keep my hand down right now. I did. And man, I tell you what, when I resisted arrest, Sister Chris, they wrapped their they took their belts off, they wrapped them around my legs because they couldn't get my legs together. It looked like a mummy when they were done, and they couldn't get my hands behind me. They got them in front of me, and they had my hands up like this, and then they let me go, and they grabbed me by the ankles or by the belt, and they drug me across a block and a half up the steps of the county jail, brother, because I resisted arrest, amen. I don't know why in the world. That's the stupidest thing you can do in the world, is to flee a police officer. We're supposed to flee the devil, amen, and resist arrest. It's the stupidest thing. Who do you think's going to win on that? I'm sure not going to win. They call the biggest guys in the sheriff's department to come to arrest you. Good night, my friend. How stupid could I be? I'm pretty stupid, amen. I don't need any comments on that from the peanut gallery either, amen. He says in verse 8 of the same text, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Look at Romans again, chapter 10 with me. Chapter 10, Romans in chapter 10 again. And over in Romans chapter, we were in chapter 1. But go to Romans chapter 10 with me. And look with me, if you will, for a moment. Let's read chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's a good prayer, amen. That'll be your heart's desire for your neighbors. That'll be your heart's desire for Tony and Darlene and for other people here in the community that don't know Christ as their Savior. Amen. It's a good thing. People you work with. For I bear them record, he says in verse 2, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They talk about God. They have a thing of God, but they don't know God. No knowledge of Him, you know. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves, themselves unto the righteous God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Let me ask you a question. Have you submitted yourself to the righteousness of God? Here's what I mean by that. Has there been a time in your life when you humbled your heart before God and said, God, I'm a sinner. God, I have sinned against you, God, and I know that you're the only one that can forgive me for my sin. And without you forgiving me, Father, I can't enter into the kingdom of God. I can't have eternal life. And I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin. That's humbling yourself. That's submitting yourself to the righteousness of God. And if you have never done that, if you can't look back to one day, Tracy, and me today, he says, God has saved me many, many, many times, over and over. I don't know how many times he told us God saved him, amen. But and yet the guy was just in there and heard him cuss once or twice and told the other guy at the garage, the other guy said, well, I'll be with you in a little bit. And he says, what did he say, Tracy? I got beer in my truck, you know. And yet, but I had no idea what salvation means. He might have prayed 100 times, Pastor. I don't know. Maybe he never prayed. He just thinks God got him of a mess, so he's saved, you know. I tell you, there's got to be a time in your life when you can look back and say, that is the day that I humbled my heart to a holy God, and he forgave me for my sin, and he saved me by his grace. For me, it was in a prison cell, on my knees, before a holy God, and asked him to forgive me and save me by his grace. And I went down a sinner and got up a saint. I went down wicked in heart and got up loving God. Went down someone who did not know Christ and got up saved, amen. And I thank God ever since then that he saved my wicked soul. But and there were times before that when I called out to God. There have been times before that where I went to church. Times before that where I went to and got even got baptized when I was 12 years old. But I wasn't saved. Didn't know Christ. Well, I thank God that he saved my wicked soul. Amen. Submit to the Lord in his righteousness. Submit to him. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. Look at Psalm in chapter 81 with me over in the book of Psalm in the 81st Psalm. Psalm chapter 81. He makes a statement over in the book of Psalms in the 81st Psalm. And he says this down in verse 15 and verse 16. He says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee, he says. He says, here's what he's saying there. The haters of the Lord, they should have submitted themselves to God. Otherwise, they should have recognized that God was God and that they were not, and they call upon him to forgive them for their sin because they could not save themselves. But they did not. They did not. He said, the haters of God. Can I tell you what you said? I don't know anybody that hates God. I've met a lot of people that hate God. I've met a lot of people that want nothing to do with God. That don't want to talk about God. In fact, if you go to talk to them about God, they'll laugh at you and spit in your face sometimes. I've met people who don't want anything to do. When I was in prison, I met people, I know that they were possessed, brother. They were possessed. And hated God with a passion. Hated God with a passion. Had nothing to do with him. You had a man that grew up here in this town, whose house is right down there, Ingersoll, who hated God and denied God and talked against God. And today he's in hell. When he died because he knew not God, Jesus Christ, as his Savior. You say, I don't hate God. Then submit to him. Then submit to him. And ask him to forgive you for your sin and save you by his grace. Come to him like you need to. Submit to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 with me. I'm trying to get through this. I have a number of scriptures and things. I still got, I think, 2 points yet. Amen. But we're not through this one yet. We're getting there. Amen. We're getting there. Hebrews in chapter 12. And look with me, if you will, here in Hebrews chapter 12. And down, if you would, please, down to verse 9. He makes this statement, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Otherwise, we respected them. You might not like how your father disciplined you, amen. I didn't like how my uncle disciplined me sometimes. I didn't like how the man downstairs disciplined me one time, brother, when I was about 13 years old. My brother and I were raising a ruckus. He worked midnight shift, and we lived in the upstairs apartment. Mom was working, and we're stomping around. He takes a broom handle, and he bangs on the ceiling for us to quiet down. And we got louder, and then all of a sudden, we're coming down the steps to go outside. I didn't know he was standing around the corner waiting for me. Brother, he grabbed me by the throat. He was about 6'2". His name was Paul. I'll never forget. He grabbed me, Brother Dave, he grabbed me by the throat, and he slammed me up against the wall in that door like that, and he says, would you like to live one more day? And his face was telling me if I didn't give the right answer, I was going to my grave that moment, amen. So he put the fear of Paul in Mike Patterson, amen. We had a fear of Holy God. He said, we've had fathers that have corrected us. That man corrected me, amen. And shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they barely after a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He tells us again, be submissive, be in subjection. When we talk about being in subjection to God, he's not talking about being in subjection without submissiveness. He's talking about submission to a holy God. When he talks about submitting to God and subjection to God and obeying God, he's talking a little bit different than what we think about those terms. He's talking about being in total 100% submission to a holy God. We need to submit to God, amen. We need to trust God. Someone asked George Mueller, if you've never read his book, I'd encourage you to pick it up and read it. Tremendous book. And I read the one written by Pearson, his son-in-law, I believe, is who wrote. I think that's who it was. Or I think that was his son-in-law, if I remember right. I'm not sure. But anyway, I read that one. I mean, a big old thick book. And we read the Family Devotions with Cale one year. And it took me just about a year to get through it, brother. Amen. And we didn't read the whole thing in one day, let me tell you. George Mueller, someone asked him one time the secret of his service. What is the secret of your service, Mr. Mueller? And here's what he responded. There was a day when I died, utterly died. And as he spoke, he bent lower and lower until he almost touched the floor. He said, died to George Mueller, to his opinions, to his preferences, to his tastes, and will, and to his will. Died to the world of its approval and of its censure. Died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have studied to only show myself approved unto God. And a secular newspaper called the British Weekly published that about George Mueller in England. Can you imagine that? Published a quote like that from a man of God. He said, that was my secret. Well, we have to submit to God. We have to submit to authority. I don't know about you, but man, I struggle with that sometimes, amen? Because I like to get where I'm going. How many of you know what I'm talking about right there, amen?
Oh, yeah.
I saw that poke in the heart there, brother, amen? You give her one back? I've been there, amen? But we're to submit to authority. And boy, I tell you, when the speed limit was only 55, when I was used to it when I was a kid, 75 and 80 in some places, brother, and when it went down to 55, I struggled with that 55 mile an hour speed limit. I'll never forget it. And when it's 55 today, I struggle with the 55 hour speed limit, amen? I want to move. Put me on the highway. Let me get up to 79 and a half miles an hour, because then I'm not doing 80, amen? I had a preacher friend in Florida one time. He said, I was going to a conference. He said, I was doing 100 miles an hour. He said, where are you going? I said, Lake City. He said, I was doing 100 miles an hour on Route 75 coming north out of South Florida. He said, I got by Lake City, and he said, I saw him. He turned around, and he come after me. I saw lights go on. He said, I got off Lake City exit, took a quick right, went down to the Walmart, pulled in the parking lot. Never saw him after that. Amen. That was it. He said, I got away with that one. I don't know if I brag about that. Amen. My daughter, both my daughters have been stopped once or two times, a couple of times over different things over the years. And my one daughter, when she got stopped in Bible college, a police officer walks up to the car, and she rolls down her window, and she just immediately starts bawling. Just starts bawling. And he felt so bad, he didn't give her a ticket. My other daughter did the same thing. So when I got stopped, I thought, I'm going to try that. No, I didn't, amen. I thought about it. I'm telling you, I thought about it, brother, amen. And I've been stopped once or twice. It's been a long time. But look at what he says in Hebrews with me, 13. Look at verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, remember them which had the rule over you. Remember them which had the rule over you. Amen. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And I would like to apply this for a moment. I think of the pastors. Number one, amen, I really do. And submit to those who have the rule over you. We'll look at some other scripture here in a little bit, dealing with the same thought. And those who are in authority, those who have the rule over, submit yourselves to the rules of the government. Listen, if the government's rules does not violate the word of God, then you have to obey it.
Amen.
People don't like to hear that. Why? Because we are rebellious. Brother Mike, are you rebellious? Absolutely, I'm rebellious. I don't like to hear it, but I'm supposed to obey the government as long as it does not violate the word of God. If the government ever said, Mike, if your wife gets pregnant, she has to have an abortion, guess what? She's not having an abortion. I'm going to disobey the government because that's against the word of God. Amen?
Right.
And that's when you can disobey the government, is when it goes directly against the teaching or submitting yourself to a holy God. You have a right then to disobey. But until then, you need to obey the things of those who had the rule over you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Over 1 Peter chapter 2 and down to verse 3. I'm not looking at everything, but I'm looking at a few things. He says, I'm going to tell you, 1 Peter chapter 2, I don't even know. He's verse 1, he says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakers, newborn babes, desire to sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's not the verse I was looking for, but praise the Lord, that's a good verse anyway, amen. Look at Romans chapter 13 with me. Let's go back to Romans. I have no idea how I got that in my notes. But they're there. They're there. They must have been right at one time. Amen. And I went over this today and thought, well, that sounds good. I don't know why. I must have been looking at something else. Let me tell you. Here in Romans in chapter 13 with me. And look at Romans 13 and verse 1. Romans 13 in verse 1. He makes this statement, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." There's going to be trouble for you. You don't submit to the authority over you. There's going to be trouble for you, and you're not just in your Christian life in the house of God and with your parents, but it's going to be trouble with you with the government. You're going to be in some big trouble. Amen. We need to do what the very word of God says. Look at the book of Titus with me. Boy, a few more pages over. Titus in chapter 3. Titus in chapter 3. You say, where's Titus at, Brother Mike? I'll let you know when I find it. We go to 2 Thessalonians. I'll get that out sooner or later. Amen. 1 2 Timothy, Titus, before you get to Philemon, Hebrews. Amen. Titus in chapter 3. And look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. He said, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Man, I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself as a brawler, amen. Anybody else besides a couple of you in here, amen? "For we ourselves," he also says, "for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." Haven't we been foolish sometimes? Even yet sometimes?
Yep.
Amen. Do foolish things. Disobedient. Deceived. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. Living in malice and envy. Hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to hope of eternal life. So He says in the beginning, but there might be subject to principalities. Why? That God would have the glory. That you might grow in the grace of God. That you might become what God wants you to become as a child of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. And look with me, if you would, down to verse 16. He makes this statement. He says ye submit yourselves unto such and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Submit yourselves unto such. Those who were givers, those who followed, those who were obedient, those who were doing what's right. Submit yourselves unto the teachers. Submit yourselves unto these preachers. Submit yourselves unto the godly. Serve God with your heart. Submit yourselves as a believer in Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, not only does it say for wives to submit yourselves to their husbands, for husband love their wives, but it says submitting yourself what? One to another. That's in the house of God. Submitting yourself one to another. Which brings me to my next thought, Ephesians chapter 5, amen, which would be submit one to another. Go with me to Ephesians in chapter 5, if you could please, Ephesians in chapter 5. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, we would read this, Ephesians chapter 5, look with me if you will, verse 21, where he makes this statement, submitting yourselves one to another in the what? Fear of God. And then he says, why submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord? Aren't you glad you don't have to submit to somebody else's husband? Amen. He says, ladies, I know it's hard enough for you to submit to your own husband, let alone somebody else. Amen. Then he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And he says, for the husbands too, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But that would solve a lot of problems in the home, amen? If a husband just loved his wife, like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what we ought to do. That's what we ought to be. That's how we ought to be as the children of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. I think Albert Barnes did a great job in his commentary on some thoughts. He makes this statement. The general meaning here is that Christianity does not break up the relations of life. Christianity does not break up the relations of life and produce disorder. Christianity never should produce disorder or lawlessness. and insubordination, but it will confirm every proper authority and make every just yoke lighter. Infidelity is always disorganizing, but Christianity never, never should be disorganizing. Amen. Another commentator put it this way, submitting one to another, let no man be so tenacious of his own will or his own opinion in matters indifferent. And God, sometimes I'm tenacious in matters indifferent. If you don't agree with me, I might not be afraid to tell you, amen, that you're wrong and I'm right. I think that's what you're dealing with. Sometimes that creates a problem, amen. It does. In the house of God, it ought not to be a problem. It ought not to create a problem in the house of God like that. I mean, unless somebody's living wicked and you're telling them that you're doing completely wrong, but just over a matter of opinion, you know, we gotta be so careful sometimes. We're going to harm the church and hurt the church if we're not careful. Look, no man be so tenacious of his own will or his own opinion in matters indifferent as to disturb the peace of the church. In all such matters, give way to each other and let love rule. In the fear of God, setting Him always before your eyes, and considering that He has commanded you to love one another, even to bear one, each other's burdens, and that ye do in this or any other commanded case, you do it always as unto the Lord. Well, I think that some of these guys had some good thoughts. Amen. Always do it unto the Lord. Don't be so inconsiderate to other people that you destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ in, listen to me, the testimony of Jesus Christ in your life. In your life. We always say, and I've said it many times, my testimony, my testimony. And there's nothing wrong with that, Pastor, but really it's not my testimony. It's the testimony of Christ and what He's done in the heart of a man. Amen. That's that, and we can do sometimes and destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ. We can stop what God wants to do because of our flesh, because of fighting against Him and not being in submission to Him the way we ought to be. Look at 1 Peter again with me. 1 Peter then chapter 5. Over 1 Peter chapter 5. He says down in verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And I think there's two ways to look at that, preacher. And here he says, yea, all of you to be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Those, I think here, Pastor, as we would study this out, I think he's dealing with those who are older in the church, amen. Those who were saints who have been saved for a number of years, those who might have been in their 80 and 90 years old now, and 102. They're 80 and, oh, sorry, sister. 80 and 90 years old now. And, you know, they're up in age. And he says, you younger ones, submit yourselves to them. For what purpose? That you might learn to grow in the grace of God, that you might learn some things that they've learned. And also, I believe we can apply that to the pastor. Amen. He is the elder of the church. And the pastor, the elder of the church. I believe this. And if I'm wrong, preacher, you can tell me later on and straighten it out after I leave here. Amen. I believe that when the man of God is called to be the pastor in the house of God, that God will give that man of God a special unction for those people of the house of God.
Amen.
I believe that. And I believe when I pastored at Calvary Baptist Church in Shepherd, Michigan, that I had that. I believe I had that unction from God. And when I resigned there and went into evangelism and moved back to my home church, I submitted that authority underneath my pastor. I no longer have that unction from God for my local church. I can't rule over my pastor. Amen? He has an unction from God, brother, to lead and to direct our church and to move it in a direction that I can't see, because God has placed that on His heart. Amen. And He shares that with the people, and He shares it with me. I don't see it because I'm not there with Him. But I agree with Him 100%. Now let me give you, for instance, I had a music tape on my CD on my table one day, and my pastor is very strong in music. Very strong position. And I thank God for it, amen. Now, my position is not as strong as his, but I thank God for it, amen. Now, our people don't know that, and they never will, amen. But I had this CD on my table, and I had them out there, and I come in, I put them out on Saturday, I come in on Sunday morning, and there's none on my table. I thought, there's no money either, you know. and we weren't selling to make money. We're just trying to help somebody who I had him on. Well, he had listened to one. And I come into his office, see him sitting on the corner of his desk, and he says, "Oh, Brother Mike, I got to talk to you." I said, "Pastor," I said, "listen to me. Here's how I am, brother." I said, "Listen to me." I said, "You cannot offend me. It's not going to happen. So if you didn't want those on the table, you have every right to take them off. Amen. But you do not owe me an explanation for anything." He didn't. Why would he? Pastor, he's got the unction from God. Amen. Why would I argue with that? Shame on me if I would. Amen. The elder, the head of the church, the pastor, the under-shepherd, the one who God placed here has an unction from God to lead you and to guide you and to direct you and to help you in your Christian life. When you spit in the man of God's face, you spit in God's face. Well, I don't know a lot about Martin Luther, and I don't know a lot about Zwingli. I don't think Zwingli was that good of an individual, amen, from my understanding. But he did say this one day, Pastor, so you can straighten him out about Zwingli later on, amen. And you straighten him out about Luther too, amen, the great reformer. By the way, who hated Israel. He hated Israel. My Bible says we need to love Israel, amen, and pray for Israel. It says, during the Great Reformation in Europe, Luther and Zwingli found themselves at odds in their concern for the movements that they were leading. Well, they were at odds. Luther said one thing, and he said another. It was contrary to the faith, amen, of Christianity, and Luther was standing strong in some things. And it said, early one morning, Zwingli walked out on the mountains of Switzerland, and a soul-stirring sight confronted him. He saw two goats, making their way over a narrow path on the mountain. One goat was ascending the trail, and the other goat was descending the trail. He said he also noticed that they must pass at a point where the trail was so narrow that there was only room for one goat to pass. He thought this would be interesting. He watched to see what would happen. The animals rounded a turn in the path, which brought them in full view of each other. They backed up as though they were ready for a lunge to run heads into each other. And then the most amazing thing happened. The goat on the trail below laid down in the path. The goat that was in the trip laid down in the path. He said, while the other goat above him walked over his back, the first animal then arose and continued his journey up the trail. Zwingli said this meant that the way down is the way up. Well, that's true. Amen. The way down is the way. I mean, there's some truth in what he said. You can't agree with what he was and what he did, but, you know, there was some truth about that. I mean, even a heretic can have truth sometimes, amen. Not biblical, but have truth sometimes, amen. And so he said the first animal then arose and continued his journey up the trail of Zwingli. This meant that the way down was the way up. And then he says, Christ humbled himself, or this is what someone wrote about Zwingli, Christ humbled himself so that men could walk over him into the kingdom of light, knowing that afterward he would be exalted. I tell you this, I don't think he did it knowing he would be exalted, Pastor. I think he did it because he's the Son of God. And he just simply said, I'm dying for the sins of man. And sure, he's going to rise, but can you imagine what he suffered on that cross for you and for me? Submitting himself, the Son submitting himself to the Father, the Son submitting himself to death, the Son submitting himself to being beaten, the Son submitting himself to being nailed to the cross. Regardless, somebody told me one time, well, if I knew I was going to rise again, I'd do the same thing. Hey, you're a stinking liar. I told him, you're a stinking liar. God, no, that's back when I was, that's 44 years ago when I first got saved, I was working a job, amen. I could tell them they were stinking liars, and they were, amen, a bunch of stinking drunk liars, amen. And you know, my friend, I'll tell you what, you wouldn't no more go to that cross thinking you were going to raise again. Christ went there. He knew he was going to raise again, but I don't think he did it just because he knew he was going to be exalted. He was already exalted in heaven. He was already exalted when he was hanging on the cross. He was already exalted when he went down to the depths to secure your salvation and my salvation. 3 days later, rose again from the grave. That's the exalted Christ, amen. What he'd already done for you and what he had done for me. Submit to God. Submit to authority and submit one to another as believers in Jesus Christ. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me ask you just two simple questions this evening. Number one is this. Have you ever submitted to God in salvation? Have you ever asked Him to forgive you for your sin and to save you by His grace? Now, I don't do this all the time, but I'm going to do it tonight. If you can say, Mike, I know I'm saved. I know I've trusted Christ. I know I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I know it. Would you just slip up your hand? How about tonight? Just slip up your hand. I know I'm born again. Keep it up there just for a second. I know I'm born again. You mean you can put them down. Amen. Now I want to ask you this thought. If you couldn't raise your hand, and sometimes people don't raise their hand because they say, well, I know I'm saved. But if you couldn't raise your hand, could I pray for you? Could I just pray for you? Would there be anything wrong if I just prayed for you? Would that be okay? Could I do it? Would you just slip your hand up and say, Mike, would you pray for me? How about right now? Just pray for me. Because I'm not sure. I couldn't raise my hand, but pray for me. How about it? Can I do that? Second question tonight is this. I don't see any hands of my friend. I hope you're saved. I do. Second question is this. You say, Mike, I know I'm saved. You already put up your hand. I know I'm saved. I say, praise the Lord. But would you pray for me? Because there's some areas that you touched on again tonight. You touched on again tonight about submission that I need to apply to my life. How about right now you slip your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Anybody else? All right, let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, remain with standing with your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a few moments. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives and how you work in our hearts to bring honor and glory to yourself, Father. I pray, Father, tonight, most hands went up, Father, here tonight, but Father, if someone did not raise their hand, Lord, you know that heart, and I pray that you bring Holy Spirit conviction to them, Father, and that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your precious word again. And God, be with these tonight who raise their hand. Help them, Lord. Strengthen them by your grace, through your mercy and your love for their life, for them, Father. Help them to be what you'd have them to be in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as the piano begins to play quietly, and the Lord spoke to your heart. You slip on and come. Come on, God bless you. Come on, God bless you. Come on. You see, I didn't raise my hand, but God spoke to my heart. You slip on and come. Come on. You just slip out and move. You come. About tonight. You need to come, you come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do. Let Him help you. If you're not saved, I'd count a privilege to pray for you even yet. If you're not saved. Thank you.
you know, let's pray together the first and last verse, 306 in our hymnal. Taking off to Florida tomorrow and then off to a cruise. Why don't you dismiss our service?
That's great. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, we are so thankful.